Hello and welcome in again to the Worship Live podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host. This is Nashville, Tennessee. We are at the very top of the Lifeway Tower in downtown Nashville.
The only way to get above where we are in this building is to get out on the roof.
You'd have to go on the roof, which is frowned upon by the security people.
I don't think our security people
and safety engineers
would do that.
No.
I've told people before, there's a reason that the windows at Lifeway don't open.
That's exactly right. Well, we're here at the corner of 11th and Lifeway Plaza. So
yes.
11th Avenue North and Lifeway Plaza.
Right off of I-65.
65, kind of forward, whatever they call that inner loop. It's a, you know, in Nashville, if you've ever been here, every interstate in America converges in Nashville, and then it creates accidents. So if you can avoid all those, come visit us corner and come up to the 9th floor, and you can see the beautiful and historic
BB McKinney
Studios.
We love for people to come see us. I actually had a friend from Liberty University that was in town today who came by and had lunch with me here in the building. So, we love it. If you're on your way to Nashville and you want to spend a little time at Lifeway, we'd love to host you here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And speaking of getting to know you a little bit better, Mike, today's topic, some of you who saw this topic when you clicked on the podcast today, you might have seen What's Your Number?
Yeah.
Is what we're calling today. So what does that mean, Mike?
Are
we asking them for their
phone number?
Social security number?
No, I don't think it's phone number. I think if you were asking for somebody's phone number, you'd say, hey, can I have your digits?
Oh,
you know,
see,
that'd be what you'd say.
You've been talking to your kids again.
I've just watched too much TV, I guess.
But we're talking about the latest craze around our office and probably every office in America. It's the latest personality profile. There's a million of them. But the one right now everyone's talking about is the Enneagram.
The Enneagram.
Yeah.
And where everybody gets a number. As a matter of fact, I have noticed, Brian, that there are people that actually use that terminology. Well, I'm a 3, I'm a 6, I'm a 9, whatever. And you know, it's interesting how people become really, really interested in trying to identify who they are personality-wise. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, I can tell you I'm an ENTP. I can tell you an Enneagram. I'm an 8 with a 7 wing. I can tell you in the DISC thing that I'm an I with a high D.
Yeah.
And my wife is an S with a high C. So how we make it together is interesting. But,
you know,
yeah,
Brian,
I've taken all of them.
I just tell you that the fact that you can say all that really says a lot about you.
yeah. Well, I'm fascinated. Well, a lot of people are. I mean, if you read newspaper and everything else, I think we talk about this a lot. Brad Wagner, our current chief operating officer, acting CEO at Lifeway right now. Well, that's not true anymore, is it? We've elected a new president. And as of the time of this podcast, he will have probably already been here walking the halls.
He's not here today. He's not here today. But by the time people hear this, he will already be in the building. And by the way, we're pretty thrilled to have Ben Mandrell.
Excited to have a pastor.
And you know what would be cool would be to find out what his numbers are. Maybe if we could find out.
I think he shared them in an email he's already sent. Can't remember. We'll have to look those up. But he sent his Enneagram number. I think he even sent the Enneagram number for his wife, Lindley. So we'll have both of those.
Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So these kinds of things.
All right. So
now go ahead.
I just got the number
from the producer.
He's a 7.
Okay.
On the Enneagram. What's a 7? Lindsay, what's a 7? Enthusiast.
Well, that's probably
pretty good. Our new presence as an enthusiast, that's a good thing.
So up until we got Ben elected as our new president, Brad Wagner's been in that role. And Brad talks a lot about how people lack self-awareness, especially even leaders. We lack self-awareness.
I'd say especially leaders because we kind of – I think leaders are prone to read who they are in the organization they lead. In other words, instead of being self-aware – it's like I'm looking at the organization that I'm leading, and I try to see the reflection of me as a leader, and I will make assumptions about my leadership based on what I see in the culture that I'm leading.
Right.
And that may not be the most accurate picture. Like a ministry leader could assume because of the organization that they lead that the organization actually reflects them. And over time, certainly that would tend to be true. But it's not the most accurate picture of who you might be in the core of who you are.
Yeah, I think about it, Mike, that great scripture that we quote all the time from the Psalm, that God knit us together in the secret place. He made us, and he did. He knows the number of hairs in our head.
So you're suggesting that not only applies to us physically, but also to the personality.
Sure, absolutely. I believe that.
The way we tend to think.
God made me 5'9". He didn't make me 6'2". If he had, I'm certain I could have had an NBA contract.
But you know,
there's
Brian,
no doubt in my mind.
I self-identify as 6'4".
Well, that's a whole other podcast.
I really do. I know I'm 5'8.5" or 5'9", but I really feel like I'm 6'4".
Better lower the rim, which is what we did at my house so we could dunk. I think these things are just ways to describe the way God built Brian, the way God built Tim, the way he built Mike. And I think God built us all uniquely as individuals and intentionally on purpose. I heard someone say one time, it's not a joke. And to fulfill the different roles in the body of Christ, we all have different giftedness. Spiritual gift surveys are another type of a way we can become more self-aware. These things, I think what excites people about them is because we do lack self-awareness. They can help us be more self-aware. And in particular, of our strengths, which is the part most of us like to read in these personality profiles. Mm-hmm. Look at all these great things about me. But then you get to that weakness and blind spot section, and boy, often that hits close to home as well. I just think it could be helpful to look at those.
There's a tool that a lot of churches use that is a spiritual strength finder called PLACE. I don't know if some of the folks listening out there, a number of churches that I served use that tool, and the church I'm part of now uses that tool. When you join our church at Brentwood Baptist, you take a PLACE assessment, which is not intended to show you your weaknesses or failures or faults. It's intended to help you discover what strengths might be in place. And of course, with any of these tests, there has to be a disclaimer. If you take these tests more than once, you might get a slightly different result depending on the day of the week or how honest you might have been one time and how guarded you were another. I mean, we were talking off mic with our engineer, Tim, who engineers our program. He's sitting 1 foot from me now. And Tim admitted, and this says a lot about his personality, but he's not always 100% sure he trusts the question,
right,
which skews his answer. So, right. Tim, can your personality be identified in a test finder, strength finder?
It's difficult.
Which probably says something about who you are in your makeup.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think another thing that we were discussing off mic is sometimes when you go looking at the descriptions, you can find a description that says, okay, that's kind of me.
That's me.
And then it's also helpful sometimes, I think, to get other people to affirm, you
are in the Lifeway Worship Organization. Yeah. You have more direct reports than even I do. Yeah. I mean, you have more people that directly report to you than even.
I think you set it up that way.
Well, I'm glad you realize that. So you have used some tools in the past with your team. So let me interview you a little bit.
Yep.
Why would you, as a leader, want to have this kind of information on the people that you lead?
If I can understand better how God made the people working for me, one of the things you can learn is how people prefer to receive information. Do they need a lot of details? Do they need time to process? What is their tolerance for change? When you learn these things, you can get a higher functioning team when you know more about the parts. So in the same way, a choir director wants to listen to people sing, learn their vocal range, learn their tone.
A musical analogy.
It's very similar to that, to say, oh, you're a first tenor, you're a second tenor. Man, you read really, really well, but you don't have a lot of power in your vocal. This person has great power. They don't read well. Let me put you two together. And so it's that kind of a thing. I think it just helps me as a leader know how people prefer to receive information. And it makes me, I think, a better leader when I remember this, and I don't always. A lot of times, there'll be a reaction between me and an employee, and in retrospect, I go, oh, that's right.
Yeah, they're hearing that.
I forgot that they need to hear that a different way than, you know, person one needs to hear that completely differently than person two. And what motivates a person, you know this from your own children. Yeah. I have two children that are very different. Mm-hmm. What motivates one completely demotivates the other. What's encouraging to one is devastating to the other. And so it's that kind of thing. And this just gives us a way to contextualize, I think, and articulate the differences that all of us have.
All right, you know, so just to make a really obvious spiritual application right away is, aren't you glad our Heavenly Father knows us perfectly.
Yeah.
He knows every bit of this about us, each one of us, and he didn't have to give a test to figure it out.
No, that's right.
And he will lead people differently based on how they're wired and will speak to them in the ways that are the very best ways to speak to each one of us. And he customizes our experience with him, always true to the scripture, but personally designed for our own enjoyment of him in an intimate relationship. That's pretty exciting to think about it that way.
It really is, Mike. I think of it, you know, at home, we had a knob that fell off one of our dressers. And I could not find the screw that held that knob to the dresser. But being a resourceful gentleman, I went into the garage and I found a screw
that
I could sort of fit into that hole.
Yeah.
But that knob was loose for the next decade every time I opened the door because I didn't have the right tool. It was the wrong size. It was the wrong shape for what I needed to do. And boy, you're right, Mike, to think that God never makes the mistake that Brian Brown, the household handyman, made by putting the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong to do the wrong job.
So, Brian, we talked about the benefit of a leader using this tool with their team.
Yeah.
And I realize I've turned this around on you. I'm interviewing you now, but what's the benefit to the individual taking the test? What does this help a person do?
Yeah, I think, it depends on the individual. Some of them really are challenged by it. Some people reject it. Certain personality types don't want to know their weaknesses for sure. I think it can help people insecure that don't know they have strengths to know that they do. I think it helps people to know that there's other people like you. You're not the only one that feels this way. You're not the only one that receives information this way. I think one of the best things about them for an individual, and again, I mean, ultimately, we should look to God and Scripture for these things. I think these things have to be a support for our faith or maybe a different way of talking about our faith for the Christian. But I think it's a way to say, you know, I do have giftedness. It was intentional. And there are other people that God has designed this way too. And so you can find other folks who are like you, and I think you can relate together, even spiritually. I think that people that God has wired similarly will hear a message and maybe can find each other and connect in different kinds of ways. So I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but I think it helps us if we understand how God made us, if we understand how God wired us in a spiritual context, and we honestly are able to look at our strengths and our weaknesses, understand all of that. God wants all of that. God can use all of that.
Yeah,
he does. He's sanctifying us, and he is developing us, and he is. There's coming a day in heaven where we won't have the weaknesses, you know?
Yeah.
And God is glorifying us and sanctifying us and molding us, and then we won't have these bodies, and we won't have these kinds of things deal with now.
Here's a beautiful picture to think about. When you think about, he created us in his image, and all of us bear the image of God, but it takes all of us together to completely express
we are the body,
that we are the image of God, that no one of us isolated really reflects all of who he is, but all of us together,
every nation, every tribe,
completely
every tongue,
reflects
every personality,
a God who is incomprehensible,
The introverts, the extroverts.
It's really, really great. Yeah. So the tools can be helpful. I know we're probably coming up on a break. I tell you what I want to do after the break, if you don't mind, is let's talk about, if you want to, I'll talk about the number I am.
Sure.
I've taken this test a number of times, and we can kind of talk about that and then maybe make further application of how this tool could be helpful, but also some warnings that I want to give everybody about this before we say goodbye.
Hey, this is Brian, and I just wanted to remind you out there who are listening to our podcast about the Red Box. Most of you who are listening to the sound of my voice are very familiar with that and you're already subscribers. But for those who aren't, the Red Box is Lifeway's Choral Club. So it contains all of the music that we create here at Lifeway Worship that's specific for choirs. We've got small choir resources like You Can, that's for the unison two-part choir. We've got Let's Sing resources for the larger choir. We've got musicals by Phil Barfoot. We've got great anthems by Cliff Duren and other great arrangers. Anything you need for your church choir, anything you need for your youth choir, your student choir, your children's choir, you're going to find out everything you need by being a member of the Red Box. So call Lifeway at 1-800-436-3869, or you can sign up online at lifeway.com/theredbox. We look forward to hearing from you soon. All right, we're back. Now, Mike, I was interested. You said just before the break that you were going to let us in on some of your numbers, some of your letters, some of these personality tests that you've taken.
Well, okay, I've taken the Enneagram test multiple times, and I'm one of those people that I have gotten different results. Like three or four times I've taken it. Like one time I took a long version of it, and it came out with a six kind of a thing, or a seven, an enthusiast thing. But the most recent taking of that test, I think this may be the closest one of all, is I'm a three.
Okay.
And a three is an achiever. Now, I don't say that to say, look what I've achieved or anything like that, but that'd be a different personality problem there if I was that. But I am fulfilled in the accomplishment.
Right.
I'm an achiever. And then my wing score, which, by the way, was almost equal mm-hmm. to my top score. They almost, in a way, could be interchangeable. I was a two. I was a wing. I was a three, wing two.
Okay.
Is the way the Enneagram world would say it. And the two is the helper.
Yes.
So, I mean, you've worked with me for 14 years, Brian, somebody that wants to achieve, but at the same time is helping others achieve.
Yeah.
So would you argue with that?
No, I think that's pretty good. And it's surprising, being an eight with a seven wing, that I don't want to argue, because arguing is my favorite thing.
Tell me about your eight and seven. What does that mean?
I'm a nonconformist. And again, Mike, we've worked together 14 years. That
Lord, do I know.
You
can I just say amen, hallelujah?
There are a lot of leaders who would say you don't need a person like me in a corporation anywhere other than maybe as an entrepreneur heading it up or whatever, because I'm just constantly pushing against the rules and the established procedures, and bureaucracies are frustrating.
Well, Brian, I would concur. I think that's spot on. I have learned, now this is an interesting thing for us to think about as a leader, as your leader.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to not only, I wouldn't even say tolerate that attribute of yours. I've actually learned to celebrate that, and Lifeway Worship benefits from that part of your personality, because I've learned to trust your pushback. And many, many times you've had a perspective that's kept us from driving this thing off the cliff, because you tend to be the antithetical, adversarial, devil's advocate, maybe is a good way to say it, where you challenge the assumptions, and I'm telling you, it has saved our neck. That's a strength of yours. Now here's the
also
thing.
A weakness.
as a leader, me understanding that about you helps me qualify your responses.
Right.
But it's become a really, really important part of our leadership team, because I've got other leaders on my team that aren't wired that way.
Yeah.
And if I only listened to them, we'd make a mistake in a different direction. If I only listened to you, we might miss something we should have done. But that's the beautiful thing of the body of Christ and how these personalities work, is we actually really do need each other's strengths.
But Mike, I know, you and I both know, and our listeners, you can take these things too far.
Oh, you can. And that's the warning that I want to get to here.
Yeah.
The thing that we haven't talked about yet, we've kind of sort of referenced it, but there is this thing the Bible talks about, the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the mm-hmm. Spirit, mm-hmm. the Spirit-controlled life, the life that is conformed to the Spirit's control in our lives. And I would say, in the Christian perspective, in a spiritual sense, that the Spirit's control supersedes all of the personality things that we have, that some of the most dynamic moments of my life have been when I have seen and been aware that the Spirit of God mm-hmm. is enabling me in a moment to be something I'm not.
Yes.
And I've seen Him do it.
Yeah.
I've seen a something come out from my leadership that I'm not pre-wired to do, and know that it was the Spirit of God moving and working and enhancing my skill set in moments when I was not adequate, but he was.
So many great moments in Scripture, Mike. I think of the first part of Acts where the crowds are hearing these people speaking in all the different languages, and each one hears in their own language, and they hear in their own tongue. And the crowd says, wait a second, these people are just Galileans. You know, yeah. These people cannot do these things. And you're right. Even going back to Moses, who said, I don't speak well. You've got the wrong guy. But God, that's how you know it's something supernatural. Yeah. We've been talking about the natural.
Yeah.
And God made us natural beings. And we do have these strengths, these weaknesses, but the Spirit can overcome.
Absolutely.
Can
and that's well said. That's a great example from Scripture of how God took the tendencies of his leader and overcame them and actually used them for strength. So here's the warning that I want to give all of us. This is where these tests start bothering me. You and I were talking offline. Some of these tests, I mean, there's a lot about this that's very beneficial. I admit that. But I also see it abused sometime. And when I begin to hear people excuse choices and behavior and personality type, excuse it with something that is not controllable, like a predisposition revealed in some kind of test. Mm-hmm. When you've already called it out. Here are the strengths of this personality. Here are the weaknesses.
Yeah.
And when I hear someone, or even at times in my own life, say, well, that's just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, long before we were having tests like this that everybody was taking and talking about, you'd hear people say, well, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Yeah. You know, in other words, I'm not going to change, and you just either live with this or not.
Yeah. Essentially, what Moses was saying to God, it's just the way I am.
Yeah,
I can't help it.
And I'm telling you, for the Christian, I don't think that's a card we can play. Yeah. I don't even think it's one we have in our hand. I think that's an excuse. That's a default. And that person that uses or misuses, if you will, their understanding of their own personality and exploits their weakness by making it an excuse.
Yeah.
I would challenge that person to say, wait a minute, you're removing the God part of the factor here, and our personality, the weaknesses of our personality trends, our tendencies, should never be used as excuses for behavior that's less than the Spirit-controlled Christian ought to have.
It's great. Mike, the illustration I'm thinking of right now, you know, I used the illustration earlier about my personality type being like me being 5'9". Well, I immediately think of David facing Goliath.
Sure.
David could have said, hey, I'm not big enough.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm not big enough.
Exactly.
Look at him. He's 9 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly.
There are just certain realities in life. He's got the advantage.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great line in that movie, The Princess Bride, where Andre the giant says, it's not my fault being the biggest and the strongest.
Yeah,
and so this kind of this Goliath moment, hey man, he's got the, you know,
yeah.
And I don't have it, God. So, you know, and you're right. We are human creatures, and we do have strengths and weaknesses because of our humanity. And I believe that extends even to our personality, but that we have a spirit that's greater than all
so
those
the
things.
Spirit
and we have a name.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you're preaching now, but
and,
which is part of your personality type.
Yes, it is.
But there's
preacher,
teacher. But here's another thought. Not only do we not have the license to use our personality weaknesses as excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you a second thing, is every one of us have been admonished by the Lord to discipline ourselves.
Yeah.
And I've got some tendencies as a personality, as a creative kind of person, as a right brain kind of person.
Right.
My tendency would be, let's get in a room and let's dream some big creative thing. And usually creatives are not high on execution.
Yeah.
Like they might have all these brilliant ideas, and they'll take the first three steps of all of them, but never complete anything.
I know who you're talking about.
No,
just kidding.
But what creatives tend to be that way, and we're talking to a largely music-oriented crowd, and I want to tell you, ministers of music in many of our churches, we don't have the best reputation of executing a plan with precision.
That's right.
Sometimes we get bored in midstream and attention deficit and all those other things that come into play. I, as a creative, my natural inborn tendency would be to abort in the middle of a process or another idea come along, like the old squirrel. There it is.
Right.
I'm going to go chase that for a while. But as a person with responsibility, I've had to put disciplines in my life, a willful choice. My personality would never have chosen it. Mm-hmm. My natural tendencies would have never pursued it. It's not the default way I would do life. But there are disciplines that, by God's help and the Spirit of God working in my life, that I can put into my life to overcome the weaknesses of my personality. And I would encourage anybody that's down this path and trying to be as self-aware of your strengths and weaknesses is look at that weakness list and ask God's Spirit to come into your life and to bring some disciplines and some accountability in your life to address those weaknesses. Yeah. You don't have to settle for what you would be naturally. Yeah. You can address those things and overcome those things with the help of God and with people in your life who can help you.
Yeah, and I think, Mike, the Bible teaches that the Spirit's the only way to overcome them. This nature, this sinful, the nature we've been given is a sinful nature, and we are bent eternally the wrong way, and it only the Spirit can overcome it.
Yeah,
only the Spirit of God, and only surrendering to the Spirit of God. You can't do it in your own strength. Paul talks about the law was given just to prove to us that we can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. and it does a really good job of proving
it does
that.
Every single time.
Yeah, it does.
And when you act against your nature, in this case the sin nature, you're going to lose every time because your nature is compelled to do something that only your Creator can change with His Spirit, with His power.
So I would say it this way. Let's just make it as colloquial and simple as possible. When the next time you feel yourself wanting to say, well, I can't help it, realize that, okay, in your humanity and in your flesh and with your particular bent toward personality, maybe you can't. But for the believer who's following after the heart of God, who is growing in their maturity, who's developing some disciplines in their life, and who have the Spirit of God empowering you, you can help it. You don't have to be the worst version of your personality. You can actually aspire to be all God made you to be because God has the power to help you become the person that He's designed you to be, that overcomes and that can transcend what your natural tendencies might be.
Absolutely. Mike, I think this would be fun. We're going to ask our people, if you would, if you're listening to this podcast, let's find out more about who's listening to us.
Yeah.
Mike, send us your Enneagram, send us your disc letter.
We'll publish it. No, we won't.
And we'll pray for you, especially if you have the wrong one.
We'll pray for the people you work with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But we would love to hear from you what your experience with this has been, maybe lessons that God's taught you about yourself through this journey. Email us, worship@lifeway.com. What we really like to hear from you is prayer requests, and you guys are so faithful to send those to us so the Lifeway worship team knows how to pray for you specifically and intentionally. So please send those as well. Join us on Facebook and Twitter and the other social media platforms, and please remember to review and rate the podcast so others can join the discussion about worship and music and ministry. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. We'll be back together to talk with you again very soon.